morning. Bright morning for us today. For once. Yes. So early. I don't think we've ever filmed this early.
No.
Usually late afternoon. We had a couple of episodes of 9 o'clock at night.
Yes.
Yeah.
Trying the opposite.
Whoopsie. I am not ready for this today. I'm looking like I've just woken up. I put a jumper on. It's cold.
Yeah, the temperature's dropping.
It's very cold for this time of year. Or
it's all right in the afternoons, but the mornings
actually
are not good.
Last night I was so hot, and so were all of my kids. Yeah, they were like, oh, I can't sleep, it's too hot. And I was like, I know. And Harper's like, can we have the aircon on? And I was like, no, because I'm going to be cold in 2 hours.
Yeah.
So no, thank you. I'm feeling pretty damn tired today. I had my alarm on quite early to get up, shower, get ready for the podcast, send 4 children off to school, deal with diabetes for the morning, and I am feeling it a lot.
Yeah.
I need time out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need big time out. We need another night at port.
Yes. So when we were, it was, we
Christmas
decided to.
Christmas time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I reckon early in the new year. And we decided to meet for a drink to actually have a discussion about the podcast.
Yeah, podcast meeting.
Yeah. We went to get a drink, got hungry. Oh. The place wasn't doing food anymore.
No, that it was like 8:25 and they were like, sorry, kitchen closes at 8:30. And then we were like, it's 8:25.
Anyway,
we were so hungry.
Bread.
All we wanted was just a garlic bread, just one garlic bread. And then we went and sat back down to, you know, keep drinking our drink. I think we had a lemon lime bitters.
Yeah.
And then, 15, 20 minutes later, they brought out garlic breads for the table next to us.
Yeah, and we cracked it.
We cracked it so bad. We were like, nah, screw this.
Like,
let's go and get a donut, like the hot jam donuts from Port, if you know, you know. And we went all the way down there, waited in a huge line. That didn't take too long, but it was huge.
Yep.
Finally got our donuts and saw the carnival was on.
Yeah. Yeah. So we decided to go in. We decided to go in.
Two emetophobic people walking into a carnival full of sugar and rides, very upside downy kind of rides. And we were stressing a little bit, I think.
And then we had a look at the cost.
Then we stressed some more. The cost for these rides is ridiculous. It was like $25 for the haunted
house
thing that we went through.
Yeah.
And it took 30 seconds.
Yes. But how much we laughed, like my mouth hurt the next day.
My brain hurt the next day. That guy chasing us was insane.
There's some good video footage of the haunted house.
There is a lot of video evidence of that haunted house. And I would really like to post it, but do you think it's postedable?
You might need to do some bleeping.
Yeah. I think I'll need to do some bleeping because although the whole video would be a bleep.
Yeah, it's pretty funny though.
It'd
it's
be
like actually really funny.
Bleep, 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 bleep. It was just like.
It was actually
F this,
scary.
Go away. F you. Stay the F away from me.
We were being chased.
I swear at one point I was like half down in like where your feet go. Was I?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And then after we survived that and he was probably sitting there laughing at us for the next 8 years, we decided to go on the Dodgem cars. Do you remember how much of a mess that was? When you turn it. We didn't know at the time.
I'd never done Dodgems before.
Yeah, you're nuts. When you turn it, I didn't know this at the time, a certain like way all the way to the end, it puts you in reverse.
Oh, is that what was happening?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot.
So
that.
We thought that he was playing with us
yeah.
And just putting us in reverse, like just us, no one else. And
we're just no good.
We just kept like new in reverse for so long. And just sitting there laughing so hard because we couldn't figure out how to go straight, like go forward. And it was that whole thing was just, I was dying.
It was so funny.
I don't even have good video footage of that though. I wish I might have a little bit, but it was quite bad.
I think we both walked away from it though, just going like the importance of spontaneity and
saying yes.
Say yes.
Say yes all the time, even if you know you get a little bit of time out,
or
you're like, oh, do I want to? Just say yes.
Yeah.
Because we just went out for
school.
School. Give me 2 seconds. Where'd we end that?
So, real life, you've just had to take a phone call from your daughter's school.
Yes.
And
I did. She is sitting at 14 at the moment. Yay me. I have corrected from home. But it's fruit break time. So
this is the constant judgment calls that we talk about, where they've called to say, do you want her to eat now? How much insulin do you want to give her? How long should we wait? Like,
and then there's the of, oh, she's 14, but she did just turn a little bit.
And I corrected her 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, now she's, you know, give the right amount of carbs, but how long do I wait? Normally at 14, I'd wait, you know, 15 minutes. But now that I've corrected, and yeah, now I'm just like, well, if she waits 10, 15 minutes, is she going to go low because the correction's already started to kick in? Or is she, or is that not enough time and she's just going to go high?
And it's just that pressure, isn't it? It's what we spoke about last episode, the fact that you've got to make these judgment calls. And when you're making them and your child's not with you, it's extra tricky.
Yeah. Yeah, because now I'm like, well, now I've got to keep an eye on my phone a hell of a lot more, because is she going to go double arrows down when she's out playing, you know, doing her thing?
The other thing that I felt, the other thing that I felt too is like, am I then being judged for having given the wrong correction or making the wrong call? Yeah, I just had that sort of in the back of my mind that they were judging me as well.
She goes in low from me telling them to wait longer or whatever. And then are they like, well, she handled that wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I think we're going to go into a bit of a would you rather this morning. Break it up a little bit.
Yep.
Have a little bit of fun. All right, here is our cringy little, what is it called again?
Intro?
Yeah. Yeah, would you rather intro. Here we go. I'm so sorry, everyone. Would you rather?
Type one edition.
All right, I'll head first. Would you rather a beach day or a day at Bounce?
Good question. I mean, a day at the beach for us means no pump. But then at Bounce, I would take her pump off her as well. I'm going to say the beach because I'd prefer to be outdoors than in Bounce. But every time we go to Bounce, she is just low and has horrific lows. But it is easier to keep her like in CGM range at Bounce. That's a bit trickier at the beach.
Yeah.
I'm still going to say it. I'm going to say day at the beach.
I'm going to say Bounce because I hate the beach. Sand, insulin, heat, sticky. Like, not even to mention Harper's stuff and swimming and going low. But yeah, I'm not really a beach person, so I'm gonna stick to Bounce. But then again, at the same time, Bounce equals germs equals unwell.
Yes.
So that's a difficult one for me, but I would take Bounce over the beach any day of the week.
My would you rather? Would you rather a day with no pump or a day with no CGM?
Silence. In regards to no pump, do you have pens?
Yeah.
Okay, I would rather go a day with no pump.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So you'd manually inject?
Yeah. Harper's not too bad with that now.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't think I could go a day without a CGM. Yeah, no. I don't think so.
I'm going to go a day with no CGM because Evie will not tolerate needles.
Okay,
And I can't do a whole day fighting to get a needle in. Like, it would just be horrific. She will finger prick. So it wouldn't be fun. Mm. But if I had to choose one or the other, yeah, I'm going to do a day.
How many finger pricks do you reckon you'd do?
I think I'd probably check 2 hourly.
Oh, okay. I was going to say half an hour.
No, I think
it would stress me too much.
It would, but I think for that one day you just have to run with I think I just have to watch closely her sort of signs. Definitely not ideal. And see,
I couldn't find Harper's phone and she was like double arrows up and we couldn't find it for an hour. And I was like, all right, like if we don't find this phone, I'm going to have to give you an injection correction. Yeah. It's just going to have to happen. And it was close to us because her loop was still working, but it was only giving like small amounts. It just wasn't giving enough to bring her down. And so I got out her pen and I said, all right, we're going to do an injection. And she was like, okay.
Oh, that's awesome.
Really? She was like, yeah, hurry up. And yeah. I put it in and she was fine. And then 5 minutes later we found her phone.
Yeah, okay. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So, no-brainer for you.
Yeah, the only thing that would annoy me is just the basal side of things. And, you know, because it changes throughout the day, whereas on the, injections, like it doesn't.
Yeah.
You've just got the one.
I don't even know how much long acting I'd give these days, but
no. That's a question. I remember when Harper was first diagnosed, it was 2 units. But now, if I look at Harper's basal, she has a fair amount during the day now, maybe 5 or 6.
Yeah, I was going to say, I reckon we're double what we started at.
But then, that's also short acting that goes through. So, would it differ? Yeah, I have no idea.
Sounds like something we need to follow up with our peds. Probably have like a what would we do if pump failed?
Yeah, we should get that like something for that like updated. I do have like the ketone plan and all that for when she's got ketones. But apart from that, it would be completely weird. I reckon, I mean, I know I can call the hospital and ask for the ped on call.
Mm.
And they usually pop me through because we just call and say, I'm a parent of a type 1 diabetic, and they get you through to them super quick. So I reckon I'll just call and say, what do I do?
Yeah. Help. Well, I'm not like, because we're not in the public system, I don't know whether we can.
Yeah, you can.
Do that.
Because it's just like you would going into hospital.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
And they might say, like, if she's unwell, like, say, if you called for advice because she was unwell and it was the middle of the night or whatever, they would just say, come in. But the handy thing is they let ED know that they've spoken to you and told you what to do. And so they kind of expect you when you go in.
Yep. Hopefully handy. Less good than tip that for waiting,
yeah.
waiting time. So last episode we spoke about we spoke about testing your family members.
Yes, and we touched on the type 1 screen.
Yes, yep. And I did a bit of research after we left because I didn't really know, like I knew they were testing for antibodies, but I didn't really understand and we had questions around how often we need to be being rechecked. So I found that this is on the JDRF website, that there are 5 autoantibodies. People who have 2 or more persistent autoantibodies have a 70% chance of developing type 1 in the next 10 years and nearly 100% chance of developing type 1 in their lifetime. So they're saying that type 1 progresses in stages. You have no type 1, a triggering event, then you have stage 1, stage 2, at stage three is when you're getting symptoms and when you're typically diagnosed. Mm-hmm. And then stage four is where you've sort of got that, I suppose, yeah, you've lived with the condition for numerous years. Long-term health complications are common. So they're talking about detecting it in sort of stage one or two, where you've got the autoantibodies detected, but you've still got normal blood sugar level.
Yep.
So it was interesting to me that they said if you have two or more of those autoantibodies, you have a 70% chance of developing it in the next 10 years. So it suggests to me that that blood test that you have is relevant for the next few years potentially. But the other
Unless you tested negative.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So like if you test positive for one, it generally predicts like over 10 years, that's 70%. So they've been keeping an eye on that. But if you test negative, is it the same? Like how often?
So I think we have some questions that maybe we need to see if we can get these answered and get a bit more information about the screening for this and why you might choose to do it or not do it.
Yeah, I'd love to see if any of our listeners have had the screen done or if they are thinking about getting the screen.
Yeah, yep. Well, the other interesting thing that I saw come out today is what's sort of been long suspected, which is that officially research has proven that COVID is a triggering event for type 1.
Yes. I mean, I think we knew it was coming with all of the diagnoses since COVID's been a thing. Like it's, has it doubled or tripled since then?
Yeah,
I think
sure.
I've seen. When we were in hospital, they immediately asked, once they said she had type 1, has she had COVID in the last couple of months?
Yeah.
And I said yes. And they, once we were settled in and everything, our PED came, which is our usual PED, so that's great. And he said, we are currently researching it. We will have some research done in the next few years, but there's definitely has to be a link.
Yeah, they're
saying
that.
Because the amount of people that have been diagnosed after having COVID is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yep. So they've kind of confirmed what everyone already knew.
Yeah.
But interesting that sort of seemingly from that triggering event, perhaps it's a relatively short period of time. We're not looking at 10 years from triggering event to diagnosis. For us, if it happened in the way I suspect, which was minor illness, sort of ended up at a type 1 diagnosis, I think it was 2 to 3 months. So I think for us it was sort of 2 to 3 months. If it happened in the way I suspect it did, it was 2 to 3 months probably after a minor illness that she was diagnosed.
Harper was 1 to 2 months after having COVID is when the symptoms started. I think it was about a month after, or not even, because I back then didn't even see the symptoms starting at all. Mainly just the urination part of it. But it was 2 months after COVID that we were diagnosed.
Yeah. So the timeline sort of fits what the hospital was saying to you.
Yes, it does.
There
goes your ums. The ums. I only got through half the podcast last night to edit and there were about 30 in the span of maybe 2 or 3 minutes.
Oh, God.
So bad. Okay.
Your turn then.
No, you do it without saying
I can't.
I double dare you.
I'll have to very
I've been using okay.
Then.
Like, okay, but now okay is going to be my bad word. Okay.
I thought now would be a good time to go into our fails of the week, if you would stop laughing.
Laughing, you are
perfect. All right, cringy soundboard.
I've forgotten what thingo it is.
Oh,
is it this one?
Yeah, try that.
All right. Oh, I'm so sorry for these guys.
I reckon you've got it.
Type 1 fails of the week.
Oh, that's so bad. That's disgusting.
Oh, no.
What is that?
A fail.
A fail.
It's a fail.
That whole thing is a fail. We got it right.
Maybe we should just, this is our fail for the week. Our fail for the week was coming up with the soundboard. It took us a couple of hours. And
everyone listening, though, would probably be like, it's not even that bad.
Oh, really?
It's bad. Okay, do you want to take the lead for your fail?
Yeah, all right. My fail is thinking the other person had bolused. So
ouch.
Sitting down for dinner.
I'll do that.
And assuming that Luke had bolused because, I don't know, I was arranging dinner and thinking and he had thought I had bolused. So
that is a fail. I do that. Accidentally, of course. Yeah, it's just hard when you sit down and, you know, you're dishing up and whatnot and you're like, oh, can you do this? And then you assume it's been done and then you sit down and she's like skyrocketing and you're like, damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's always so much going on and it's just one of those things.
Always.
That, you know,
there's
sometimes
so many mouths to feed and then you're just like, what's going on? Why is she going high? And then you check the loop and you're like, she hasn't been bolused.
Yeah.
And it's always something that's not slow acting either. It's always something that's...
You pick it up because they're shooting way up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. My fail for the week, and I also have a bit of a tip. So after my fail, I'm going to cover my tip. That will hopefully help some people because I have not tried it, but I definitely should have tried it this morning because she is sitting so high. Pre-bolusing too early at a restaurant.
We got done with this early days.
Did you?
A couple of times badly.
We've had it happen.
Yeah.
We didn't, like, you know, it's not busy in there and you think, oh, yeah, it shouldn't be out too long. We'll do it now. And then it just takes 40 minutes, 50 minutes, an hour. And then you're just like, where is this damn food?
Yeah. We got done with KFC one night.
Oh.
Thinking takeaway wouldn't take too long. It would hit her pretty hard. We better get the pre-bolus in. Yeah, we got done at KFC. And we got done at a friend's house.
Oh.
A friend who, it was early days, so we were all very new to it. And, you know, they'd sort of said, yeah, dinner's nearly done. But it was like a gathering of quite a few people and everything just ended up taking longer than initially thought. And, yeah, we had a pretty bad low. So, yeah, we've been done with that one too.
Yeah. I mean... It's either that and that happens or they're sitting stable. So then you're like, oh, you know, I'll wait. And then the food comes out and you're like, I haven't bolused yet because it was so quick. Yeah. And then you're like, well, now she's sitting up high.
Yeah.
And now she has to wait. And now everyone else at the table is just sitting there like, do we eat? Do we not eat? Because she can't eat.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just never ending, honestly.
It's one or the other.
Give us a break.
Hit us with your tip.
I do have a little tip. All right, my little tip for the week is, again, I have not tried it, so don't hold me to this, but let me know if it works. Putting bread in the freezer and defrosting before eating it reduces carb spikes.
Interesting.
Yeah, so say you have your bread in the freezer and then, you know, some people do that. You take it out. You defrost it, toast it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It reduces the carb spikes, which clearly, looking at this, let's see if I can show the camera and hope it doesn't turn off before then.
On her way down.
She only had one piece of peanut butter toast this morning. Mm. I wonder if this... Oh, come on. Hang on.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sort of. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Stop that spike.
Yes, so that would be interesting to see.
So on that, I do remember this vaguely from my uni days and I will have a look at this and get back to you next episode. But there is something called resistance starch, which is developed when you cook things like rice, pasta, potatoes.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Cool them and then you can still reheat them and the resistance starch remains. But I believe it has more, I think it's probiotics. it might be prebiotics. And I believe because it changes the chemical compound of the food, I believe that lowers blood glucose spikes.
I'm not sure how it works technically, but I do know that say we have spag bol one night or some type of pasta or rice, we put it in the fridge if there's any leftover and she has it the next day, we generally take like 20 grams.
Interesting.
Off. Yeah.
So I wonder if it is the effect of that resistant starch.
Yeah, possibly.
I'm going to look into this. I'll
try the have a bit bread of thing. Review I wonder of the if the bread thing research. Would be similar for gluten-free.
So you can't freeze gluten-free bread.
Oh, of course you can't.
Because it comes to the supermarket frozen.
Can't refreeze.
And they defrost it.
Yeah.
Can't refreeze it. So, yeah, I'm going to have to handball that one to you to try.
Yes.
You try
I'll
that.
I'll try that tomorrow.
I'm going to look into resistant starch and see whether there's any evidence around that and glucose spikes, and we'll report back.
Eek. Now, we do need to cut this episode a little bit short because we both have some – okay, I have nothing on today.
You've got editing.
Like, yeah, actually, I've got to edit the last podcast. And I have to make up some socials videos. So that is my day. And Kate has some appointments to get to. So we need to say bye for now. But we will get back on track with posting and everything.
Yes. Guest yes. time. Now that we've got the now that we feel as though we've got this a bit more under control, hopefully, yes. we're ironing out the technical issues.
There seems to be a few lately.
We fix one, something else pops up. But I think we're just about there.
We're just about there. As so long as next time the camera's fully charged.
Yes, that's my bad.
it came flat yesterday. And then she rocks up this morning today. And it's still flat. And it's like, we're not going to, like, a lot of this has been no camera.
And it's like, camera exhausted. And I'm like, so am I. Same. Join the club.
There's too much on our minds. We will, yes, we'll hopefully be able to get ourselves set up and bring some guests on and people don't only have to listen to our voice.
Yes, that would be nice. That would be really nice. We have some guest bookings being booked currently. So,
yeah, if you're interested, reach out.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. I'm going to try that little
try the outro
again. I think we start off with it low, don't we, so it doesn't hurt your ears.
Let's try that.
Like I haven't hurt your ears enough. Right now I need that laughing.
One. Laughing on the wrong thing. Page.
All right. All right. Thank you, everyone.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.